All right, in Isaiah chapter number 40, we're going to look at that chapter as we read it for our scripture reading just a little bit ago. We want to now look at it for the message time. And as I mentioned to you in the beginning of the service, this will be a very informal message. I usually have notes where, you know, there's points that are very distinct and things like that. But the Lord did not seem to give me that today, and so I just wanted to share with you some comforting thoughts. And the title of the message is just Comfort. And I want you to see what the Word of God says. And I guess if I had to give you a reason why I thought God was using this message or gave me this message, and I don't always know, obviously God does it in His own way and in His own time, but if I had to guess why God is doing this, I think it's because Satan in these days is working overtime to discourage us. And I've noticed that. By the way, I've noticed it in my life, and I never, ever, ever want to give you any kind of a pity party where you'd feel bad for me or, oh, it's so bad, oh, it's so hard. Listen, I'm not the only one who has troubles, and you're not either. Being a pastor, certainly there's a target on your back, and certainly the spiritual oppression is great and all that kind of stuff. But listen, I also know that when I wasn't a pastor, there were really bad days and discouraging times. And it's the same way for you. Some of you have more stress than I will ever have in my job. So I don't ever want to give you that impression like, oh, poor pastor. But at the same time, boy, I've felt some discouragement recently. And sometimes it's even, there's no reason for it. Like I can't put my finger on why that would be. Well, I think some other people are feeling it that way. By the way, talking to Daniel over the phone, he's facing some discouragement, by the way. That's part of college, isn't it? Part of growing up. You got to go through those things and mature through them and recognize that God's going to supply for you and all those kind of things. But he's having some discouraging times and all of that. And he's told me that some of the young men that he's real close with and friends with are really facing discouraging times as well. And then I talk to other people, and it's the same thing. There seems to be a pattern. So perhaps God tonight, I believe, would just want to encourage us in the Lord. And I'm reminded about the fact that you remember when David and his men, right before he became king, when they came back to their city and it was burned and their things and their wives were all taken, and the men were talking about stoning David because they were so discouraged. And the Bible tells us that David encouraged himself in the Lord. And that's the best thing to encourage us, isn't it? That we can encourage ourselves in the Lord because He is the same. People change, circumstances change, your health might change, your finances might change, the government might change, right? All those things, but God remains the same, and we can encourage ourselves in who He is. Well, Isaiah 40 is used by God to encourage us about Him. So we already read verses 1 and 2, but let's read them again. It says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now, by the way, this portion of Scripture here, these two verses where God says to Isaiah, comfort ye my people, I want to remind you that at this point, the judgment had not even started yet. Isaiah is written prior to that. It's written in the kind of the beginning of the decline of Judah. And there's a long time between when Isaiah writes and when Jerusalem finally falls. And yet, God prophetically is speaking to Jerusalem about how there's comfort there because God's dealings, God's chastisement has an end. It doesn't last forever. There is an end. And may I encourage you tonight that it's the same way for you and me. Listen, what we're going through right now has an end. It doesn't feel like it. It feels like 2020 is the longest year of our life, doesn't it? It feels like the last, 6 or 7 months now have been, you know, the longest 18 years of our life. It just feels like it will never, never end. And especially as we go through things and times where it looks like perhaps even things are getting worse, and definitely around other parts of the world, they are getting worse. And even here in Wisconsin, there's numbers going up and all that kind of stuff. And sometimes we can feel like it'll never end, but I want you to understand it has an end. There's coming a time when all will be right, and you and I need to remember that.
And that's part of faith, and it's part of maturity, is to recognize this will not last forever. Do you remember when you were a young child and something would happen? Let's just use an example. You maybe had a subject in school that you struggled with. You remember that, what that was like to be in an area where you thought, good night. Here's one that's always tough, right? When young people begin to get into pre-algebra and they start dealing with how to combine positive and negative numbers. You want to talk about confusing. That can be confusing. And it takes them a while sometimes to be able to comprehend. It's not just, 25 minus 14. It's 25 minus negative 14. How do you comprehend that one? And you feel like at that time in your life, I'll never get this. But as you get older, hopefully you get to the point where you realize, you know what, even if there's something really difficult in front of me, I will get through this by God's grace, and there will come a time where I understand this. Sooner or later, it will click. Sooner or later, this will be done. Sooner or later, I'll pass this class and I can move on to the next. Listen, we are in a class right now. Friends, I want you to realize that. Through all of this time that we're in, God is teaching us some things. You know what God has done to all of us, every single one of us? We've talked about this before, but He's laid bare who we really are. No pun intended, but He's taken the mask off. Oh, wait, no, pun intended, sorry. He's taken the mask off, and He's shown this is what we really are. You know what else God has done is, God has, as we talked about in the very beginning, He's taken away a lot of our gods, hasn't He? You know, it's interesting to look and see what has happened in our nation with the sports and the numbers, the ratings of what has happened to the National Basketball Association and the National Football League and the Major League Baseball and National Hockey League and those things. It's amazing to see how very little interest there is. Now, I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that they've gone political and they're trying to politicize everything. By the way, isn't it fun to watch them squirm and try to make up excuses? It's not because we're political now. It's not because we've stood against the police and tried to make the police look bad. No, it has nothing to do with that. Listen, all that said, I don't think it's just the fact that they've gone political. I think just as a nation, even the lost, some of those things have been taken away from them to where God has just made those gods that we as a nation have had for many, many years, He's made them unpalatable for many people, even the lost. There's just not the joy and the enjoyment that there used to be in those things. God's taken us through a class, a time now where we're growing. And I want you to understand, we'll get through this. It'll be okay. No matter what happens, in less than a month, there's a big election. We think about, boy, if it doesn't go the way we want it to go, boy, things might be really bad. But listen, let me remind you, even if that were to happen, we'll get through that. It'll be okay. We will get through this. There is a class. And God says to the people of Israel, even before the judgment begins, comfort ye my people. Why? Because Your punishment, your chastisement, it's done. You've received of it. Listen, God sees beyond all of that. And right now in 2020, God sees beyond this. And He would say to us what He said through Jeremiah many years ago. You remember that Jeremiah 29:11, I believe it is, where it says that, he knows the thoughts that He thinks toward us. They're thoughts of an expected end and thoughts of peace. And that's true for you and me. Comfort ye my people, He says. Now, if we skip down to verse number 10, there's another area of this chapter that I thought would be a blessing to us. Here's part of the reason we can be comforted. It's from verse number 10 where He says, behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him and His work before Him. Now, think about this now. In the previous verses, we read part of them, we read all of them. You remember those previous verses were about John the Baptist. About somebody being a voice and preparing the way of the Lord and all those kind of things. Well, now you get into chapter 10 and you hear that the Lord our God shall come and His arms is going to be strong and all of that, and his work's going to be before him. Who is that speaking about? If the previous one was John the Baptist, who's this one speaking about? Obviously, it's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. And I want you to understand that when Jesus comes again, he's going to come with a strong hand, and that ought to comfort you. He's going to come with a strong hand. He's going to deal with things the way they ought to be dealt with. And I'm excited about that. I'm looking forward to that day when Jesus comes and sets all things straight. Now, I'll be honest with you, I'm a little nervous about that. Today, my wife and I found out that there was a pastor in Arizona that we knew. I knew him from the days when my brother Mark pastored in Appleton as well. He was a member up there, and I forget how long he was there, but anyway, he was a pastor in Arizona. And we found out that he died this morning. I don't know what happened. I haven't found that out yet. I don't know if it's a heart attack or what, but he wasn't young, but I wouldn't classify him as old either, and he's just gone. It's kind of funny how we know that that's coming, but I couldn't help as I heard that news and thought about it and thought, listen, the truth of the matter is that could be me tomorrow. Now, don't worry, I don't have any plans. I haven't had any health scares or anything like that, but the truth of the matter is it dawned on me today again, boy, you know what? I'm not guaranteed that I'll live a long life. That could be me tomorrow. And I couldn't help but think about the fact that, I'm not completely ready. I mean, I'm ready. In a way, I want to be home with the Lord. And if I go, don't mourn for me. Mourn for my wife, because once you've had perfection, I've told her she can marry again, but good luck, I mean, how are you going to deal with, I don't know, She just, just indulge me, all right? Men like to be, encouraged in these things. But the truth of the matter is that it could happen, but I think to myself, I'm ready in a way, but I'm not ready in a lot of ways. There's a lot of things I'd be ashamed of if I stood before the Lord today. I think if you looked at your life honestly, you'd probably say the same thing. I could have done a lot more. There's a lot of areas where I don't think I obeyed the Holy Spirit completely. A lot of stubbornness that I still see in my life, and a lot of indulgence of the flesh, and a lot of areas where, I feel like the Apostle Paul, where he said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, I'm a little bit afraid of that. He's coming with a strong hand, and that means you and I need to be ready. We need to purify ourselves. That's what 1 John says. But I'm also glad that he's coming with a strong hand, because he's going to deal with unrighteousness. And boy, this world needs unrighteousness dealt with, doesn't it? He's coming, so comfort yourself. Listen, there's coming a time when it's all going to be straightened out. It will be done. If there's one thing we know about the God that we serve, it is that he will not let a single transgression go. Amen. Not even one. And you ought to know that about your salvation, like we talk about all the time. God is not going to let you into heaven by just ignoring your sin. The reason you get to go to heaven is your sin was dealt with in Christ. It was paid for. Jesus paid the price. Every single transgression. Now, the flip side of that is, those who are not in Christ, the lost, every transgression will be dealt with. So when you watch the news, for example, and sometimes if you're like me, doesn't matter the news channel, you beat your head against the wall figuratively because you say, how in the world can someone stand there and so blatantly turn the facts to try to say something that is completely opposite to the truth? Here's what you can remember. God will deal with that someday. Tonight, there's a political debate going on between the vice president and the one who wants to be vice president. Listen, I'm not going to say which side is going to say what, but I'll tell you this. Any lies that are told, any half-truths that are told, any fudging of the truth, God will deal with that particular lie someday. You say, how do you know, Pastor? Because that's the nature of God. He is holy, and he promises he's going to judge the world in righteousness. And if he's going to judge the world in righteousness, he will not let a single lie go. Now that's scary for me, because you know what? Sometimes I'm a liar. Now, not on purpose. There's not like this series of lies that I'm telling in my life to try to hide something. But the truth of the matter is, if I'm honest, you know, sometimes I'm kind of shade the truth so that I look good. You ever done that? Maybe kind of hold back some things, and God's going to deal with me on my things too. But man, I'm comforted by the fact that God's going to deal with things. Don't worry. The wicked are not getting away with a thing. And that ought to comfort you tonight and encourage you. The next verse ought to comfort and encourage us. Look at verse number 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. We ought to be comforted because he's going to lead like a shepherd. The beautiful thing about our Savior is at the same time that he comes with that strong hand, the arm that rules, the work that's before him, he also comes as a shepherd. And how does a shepherd do things? Well, the lambs, he carries them in his arm. Carries them in his bosom. In other words, close to himself, not at a distance. He carries them up against himself. That's how a shepherd carries lambs. He gently leads those that are with young. You and I can be encouraged with this fact that when Jesus comes, not only is he going to set all things straight, but listen, those who are his sheep, he'll deal gently with them. That's a wonderful, 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 wonderful thought. I think about my sisters and my sisters, and one of the things that I've heard them say many times when my mom was still alive, I've heard them say things like this to her: Mom, it doesn't matter how old I get, when I'm sick, I just want you to be there to stroke my forehead. You know, there's something in all of us that enjoys being comforted and consoled. And it's true that no matter how old we get, we like that. And husbands, sometimes we're the worst with our wives. But you know what? Listen, we can be comforted by this fact. The Lord Jesus, when he comes, he will be a shepherd to us. He'll comfort us. He'll console us. He'll lead us gently. Yes, he's going to deal with our problems. Yes, he's going to deal with our failures. But he's still our shepherd, and I'm looking forward to that day. And you and I can be comforted with that. Let's look at verses 12 through 26. This is the next thing that I noticed. And here's the theme of verses 12 through 26. He made it all. Verse 12, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing, and vanity. To whom, then, will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman melteth the graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. The theme of those verses is God made it all. People try to, you know, use a tree to carve out a wooden statue to make a likeness of God. How foolish is that? The one who made everything, the one who sits on the circle of the earth, the one that all nations are accounted as just vanity and nothing before him. Who are you going to liken him to? That's our God. And again, that ought to comfort us. Now look at verse 27. The next verse right after that says, "Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God?" You know what? If I could put verse 27 in my own words, I would put it this way. Why do you think God doesn't notice you? Recently, I had someone tell me, and listen, they're a good person. They're not, you know, they're not a weak Christian. In fact, they're a very strong Christian. They're just dealing with natural human emotions. But this person who is going through a few minor difficulties said, you know, I know it's not true, but it just feels like God's forgotten me. That's verse 27. When Israel is going through all that they're going through, punishment for their sins and chastisement and all that, the writer of Isaiah is basically asking them, why are you saying that your way is hid from the Lord and judgment is passed over? God's forgotten to deal with me in a just way. Oh, no, be careful. And Christian, the same for you today. God has not forgotten you, and God is not passing over you. God is very much dealing with you even right now. He is heavily involved in your life. And that ought to comfort you. He is the master at working out situations. And he's involved. So stay encouraged. No matter how difficult it is, no matter how much it feels like he's ignoring you, he's not. He knows everything. Now, that brings me to verse 28 through 31. These are verses that we know well, but let's pay attention to them as we kind of bring this message to a close. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? Remember, you think that he's passed over you? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He's not tired of working with you, okay? Verse 29. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. So a couple things to note. Verse 29, it is God's nature to give power to the faint and to increase the strength of those that have no might. You say, how do you know it's his nature? The wording that's used. It doesn't say he has given power to the faint. At one time, he increased the strength of somebody who had no might. No, it uses the verbs, he giveth, he increaseth. When it has the ETH ending in our Old English, that means it is something that continuously happens. It's a habit for him. I would put it this way, it's God's nature. This is who he is. It's what he does. God giveth strength. He increaseth strength. He giveth power. Verse 30 says, there's going to come a time when even the people that you would think would be able to keep running, they're going to be weary. Even the young men that you would think are going to be strong and they're going to stand, there's going to come a time when they fall. By the way, we might be seeing that right now. We're seeing people, oh, I never thought that would happen to them. There's going to come a time when even those that you'd swear, if anyone's going to stand at the end, it's going to be them. They're going to fall. But notice what the Word of God says in verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Aha, that's who God gives strength to. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. But the key is, they that wait upon the Lord. So the question then becomes, what does it mean to wait upon the Lord? Waiting upon the Lord, friends, does not mean sitting on your iPhone and playing Candy Crush. That's not waiting on the Lord. Not that that's necessarily wrong, okay? But I'm trying to say, waiting on the Lord does not mean you're doing nothing. Waiting on the Lord has the idea of faith behind it. It's the expectation. I didn't look it up because I didn't think of it in my study time, but I wish I would have, because there's one of the Psalms that talks about the fact that the eyes of a servant look to their master, the hand of their master. That's the idea of waiting upon the Lord. Here's a great example. This is a perfect example. Today, Abigail and I were at home and we were talking, and I was sitting down and she was standing. We were having a deep and intellectual conversation. And our little dog, Charlie, who's really not our dog, it's her dog. Charlie got up on his hind legs and put his front paws on Abigail's leg as she was standing there and just looked. And he was doing this. You know how dogs do that, kind of pawing at her, trying to get her attention. He wanted to go outside. So he's getting her attention. He's waiting for her. Or here's what he'll do sometimes. I'll be sitting in my chair reading, watching television. Again, great intellectual things, okay? And my intellectual time will be interrupted by this feeling that somebody's looking at me. And I'll look down at the floor, and Charlie, our little dog, is looking at me. And I just think, oh, of course you want something now, right? Listen, that's the idea of waiting upon God. It's not that you're sitting there ignoring God, playing Candy Crush. It's, God, I'm silent. I'm not like Charlie, right? I'm not begging. I'm not whining. I'm not barking. I'm not throwing a fit. I'm not, you know, screaming like a toddler that's spoiled in the candy aisle. But God, I am quietly sitting and expectantly waiting for you. That's the idea. Just like my dog is quiet, but yet he knows if I will stare at the master long enough, he'll get so irritated that he'll get up off of his lazy backside and walk down the stairs and tie me up on the leash so I can go to the bathroom. That's the idea of me waiting on God. God, I know you're gonna come through. And God, I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting in faith. I'm not a spoiled brat throwing a fit. I'm waiting on you. And the Bible says that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You see, God gives strength. He renews those folks. He does that. Let me show you one verse as we close. It'll have to do with waiting on the Lord. And hopefully this all is an encouragement to you. Psalm 27. Psalm 27. God will strengthen us if we will wait on Him. Psalm 27 and verse 13. I believe that verses 13 and 14 really give us the idea of what waiting on the Lord is. Psalm 27, verse 13. I had fainted, and that, you know, fainted just means to quit, to give up, to turn, you know, throw in the towel. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That's a hopeful expectation. Verse 14, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I believe 13 and 14 go together. The waiting on the Lord is what the psalmist was saying in verse 13. If I hadn't believed that there's coming a day when God's going to come through, I would have quit. But I'm not going to quit because I'm waiting on the Lord. I'll have strength, right? The fainting was talked about in Isaiah 40. I'll have strength to continue to run the race, keep going, if I'm waiting on the Lord, because I'm just trusting that He's comforting me, that there's coming a day when He's going to set all things straight, when the warfare is going to be accomplished, when it's all going to be done. And it, like Galatians, I believe it's chapter 6 and verse 9 says, I think that's the right verse, where it says that, you know, we're not to be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Don't worry, the day is coming when we will reap. And I'm looking forward to that day. So Madison Baptist Church, let me comfort you and encourage you tonight. Continue to sow good seed. Even in the days that we're in, even with the discouraging times. Listen, keep doing it. Keep going. If anything, pick up the pace. If anything, let's do more. Because the time is coming when we'll be able to reap, and hopefully that will be a comfort to you. Let's all stand. We're going to stand, and I'm going to pray. and we will be dismissed on this Wednesday evening. I appreciate you. I love you. Appreciate all that you do. I appreciate the encouraging words that many of you have given to me in person and over the phone and all those things. I want you to know I love you, and I'm praying for you, and I'm enjoying what God is allowing us to do and being a part of this church. And I know God has good things ahead. Let's wait on Him and expectantly trust that He's going to work on our behalf. I'm going to close with a word of prayer. When we're done, we'll be dismissed. Dear Lord, it has been a blessing to be in Your house tonight. Lord, I know I personally needed this time, and it's been a blessing to me to be with Your people, and I thank You for it. Now, Lord, I thank You for Isaiah 40. I thank You that You comfort us with those words. Oh, Lord, we long for You to come to this world, for You to come to this earth and set up Your kingdom. Lord, it just seems it's like a dream, but yet we know it's not a dream. It's real. And You can see that time, and You can even exist in that time. That, Lord, just seems like a dream to us. Lord, we long for that day. We pray that You would come quickly. Lord, would You help us to be faithful until the end? Would You help us? Lord, You've told us to wait on You. You've said that if we would, that You would give us strength, that we would not faint if we would wait on You. So, Lord, would You help us to do that? Would You help us to do that tonight and through the rest of this week? Lord, even as we prepare for our missions conference coming up, Lord, would You make that a special time? Lord, certainly we want to be encouraged. Certainly we want to enjoy ourselves. But more than that, we want You to be glorified, and we want Your cause to be forwarded during that time. We ask that You would make that the case. Now please dismiss us with Your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.